The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What does 1 Timothy 4:1 mean when it talks about departing from the faith? Is that equal to losing eternal salvation? We have a great discussion just ahead here on Grace in Focus, and we are just delighted that you've joined us today. Grace in Focus is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. You're located in North Texas. And we'd love for you to get to know us better by going to our website, faithalone.org. There you'll find hundreds of articles about our free grace position. You can go to our store and see books that are available, and you can provide feedback about this program. That's faithalone.org. Now, with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
Hi, Bob. Today we're going to deal with a passage one of our viewers on YouTube was concerned about.
Okay.
And it's 1 Timothy 4:1. I'll go ahead and read that. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. And it seemed like he was particularly concerned that this passage was saying those who depart from the faith and give heed to doctrines of demons, they're going to lose their salvation. Or I guess maybe these are not really true believers to begin with. What's going on here in the first book of Timothy?
Okay. It's important to recognize that Paul, when he writes Timothy, he says to Timothy, a true son in the faith. There's no question but that Timothy is born again and that he's a true son, not his physical son, but he's Paul's spiritual son. That is, Paul has mentored him. He has discipled him. Paul had a small cadre of trusted co-workers. Initially, it was Barnabas. Then when he and Barnabas separated after the first missionary journey over John Mark, he took Timothy, Titus, Silas, also called Silvanus. There were others like Clement in Philippians 4:3, and he had a number of other co-workers. But Timothy was a central co-worker, and he was Paul's emissary. Sometimes he's called an apostolic delegate. Paul sent him to Ephesus to head the church in Ephesus. He was not the pastor of the church of Ephesus. Of course, the New Testament doesn't know this office called pastor. Pastor is a spiritual gift, pastor, teacher. The office is called elder, overseer, bishop. Those are interchangeable words. And so in the early church, they didn't have one person that spoke every week, but they rotated. Different elders would speak at their Lord's Supper meeting or what we think of as the worship service. In any regard, Timothy was supervising the elders. In fact, he and Titus both appointed elders, and then they supervised the elders. Well, we don't have any apostolic delegates today, so we don't have anybody comparable to Timothy. But there's no question that Timothy was a believer and was a special believer who, although not an apostle, he carried some apostolic authority because he represented an apostle. Notice in chapter 1, verse 5, now, the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk. Notice, having strayed. Desiring to be teachers of law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. So there were false teachers in the first century that Paul's concerned about. And he says, these are people who have strayed. Well, this wouldn't be an unbeliever. This would be a believer who strayed from the truth. And then you also see in verse 10, if there is anything that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. So there are people who are teaching things contrary to sound doctrine. Then you have chapter 1 and verse 19. He says that you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some, having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Paul never delivered unbelievers to Satan. 1 Corinthians 5:5, he delivered a believer in the church of Corinth to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that his spirit might be healthy or saved in the day of Christ Jesus at the Bema. And here, these are men who suffered shipwreck. You can't suffer shipwreck unless you're on the ship. So these were believers. Well, now when you get to chapter 4, we're continuing this theme of false teachers. And he's saying, in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry. Does that sound familiar? Let's see. I think there's a whole denomination that says that their ministers can't marry. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Well, there are lots of different Christian groups today that say, oh, no, you need to follow the Old Testament dietary laws. So in the last days started in the first century. John said, my little children, it's the last hour. And Paul is alluding to the fact that they're already in the last days because he said already in chapter 1 that there are people who are teaching false doctrine and people who've strayed from the truth. You've got this issue. And if you notice, all this is headed toward verse 16. Let no one despise your youth.
You are invited to subscribe to the Grace Evangelical Society's YouTube channel. You will find our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday videos there, enlightening and encouraging, and even probably humorous at times if you like Bob Wilkins' humor. Indeed, you will get biblical truth about free grace themes like faith alone for eternal salvation and why the Grace Evangelical Society is zero-point Calvinistic. We come your way 3 times a week at the Grace Evangelical YouTube channel. Check it out and tell a friend about the Grace Evangelical Society.
All this is headed toward verse 16. Let no one despise your youth. Timothy was probably, most people think, around 35. He was called a neoniskos, a young man. To be an elder, you had to be around 40 in the first century. So let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word and conduct, in love and spirit, and in faith and in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Don't neglect the spiritual gift which is in you. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entire to them. Your progress may be evident. And then notice verse 16, quite telling. And this is a problem verse, but it shouldn't be.
Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. So even though Timothy is part of Paul's inner circle, Paul is warning him against straying from the departing from the faith, suffering shipwreck. These actually do apply to Timothy too, even though
it sure looks
there's
like
no guarantee
it.
That he's going to persevere. So the question here is, well, what happens if Timothy or one of us do not take heed and depart in the latter days?
Well, notice he says, continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. It's talking about Timothy saving himself.
Right. So is this
can we
salvation?
Save ourselves from hell?
No, right?
How could we do that?
Yeah.
And by the way, didn't he already say that Timothy is my true son in the faith?
Right.
In the faith.
Right.
What's he talking about here? Well, I would suggest that the word save here refers to deliver. It's not talking about salvation from eternal condemnation. About 70% of the time in the New Testament, salvation refers to some form of deliverance other than deliverance from eternal condemnation. This is an example.
Yeah.
Timothy's already born again. He's already saved in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
But he's in danger of being duped by false teachers. And by the way, if someone as exalted as Timothy had to take heed to himself and to the doctrine, doesn't that mean we need to also, Mike?
Yeah.
Timothy's way above our pay grade.
Right, right. We didn't get a letter addressed, and we weren't entrusted by Paul to oversee some of these churches.
Right. Timothy, if he were alive today, we'd be all in awe of him because of his spiritual giftedness and everything else and his knowledge of the scriptures. And yet, he says, take heed to yourself, continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you from false teachers and from false teachings, from the doctrines of demons, from the deceiving spirits. So coming back to the question the YouTuber asked, if a person suffers shipwreck concerning the faith, chapter 1, if the person does not continue in sound doctrine, gives heed to deceptive spirits and the doctrine of demons, Do they lose their salvation? No, that's impossible. Do they lose everlasting life? No, that's impossible. How do we know it's impossible? 1 Timothy 1:16, Paul says,
"However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life."
Yeah, so we believe on Jesus for everlasting life. Dr. Ryrie, one of my seminary professors, said that if everlasting life could be lost, it's got the wrong name. And if you study the Gospel of John, you see that everlasting life is everlasting. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but has everlasting life. They'll never perish. In John 6:35, he who comes to me will never hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst. John 6:37, the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out.
Yeah, and Jesus said all those things, and if everlasting life could be lost, then Jesus would be a liar.
So therefore, the salvation in 1 Timothy 4:16 is salvation from false teachings. And you can't prove you don't have it, because if you believe in him, you've got it.
Right.
How could the person who believes him ever prove he didn't have it?
Mm-hmm.
Someone asks about verse 1, and they're saying, well, what about the person who gets deceived? The answer is they're no longer spiritually healthy. They've suffered shipwreck. But it doesn't mean they can't get back on the ship. Now, it's unlikely, according to Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, at some point it becomes humanly impossible to bring them to repentance. But we don't know how far along what Paul's talking about here. So maybe they're not at the point of, like in Hebrews 6, they were actually going back and offering animal sacrifices again for their eternal destiny. That's major departure from the faith. Here, it's possible they're not fully going to that extent, so maybe they could come back more quickly. But the point is, we all need to be grounded in apostolic doctrine, and we need to continue in it. Verse 16b, continue in them. That's not just true for Timothy, and not just for elders or deacons. It's every single believer needs to continue in sound doctrine.
So to prevent ourselves from departing from the faith and to save ourselves from the doctrine of demons, we need to continue in sound doctrine.
Right. Number one is the promise of life in John 3:16. Number two from the Gospel of John is, are they preaching that Jesus Christ came in the flesh? And there are lots of ways people can deny that, but that would be another important issue, and it's related to the promise of everlasting life. But number three is there's lots of ways in which, like, for example, forbidding marriage or forbidding certain foods, people who are Sabbatarian that say you must worship on Saturday, all of these would be big warning signs.
And they'll help us keep grace in focus.
Be sure to check out our daily blogs at faithalone.org. They are short and full of great teaching, just like what you've heard today. Find them at faithalone.org/resources/blog. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. On our next episode, is John 2:11 about discipleship or salvation? Please join us for that, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.